Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mliwa Gavaza, and it is a Friday, which means we get into the economics news of the week. The big news of the week is that President Cyril Ramaphosa unveiled their plan for an economic recovery, especially for, you know, the local economy has been battered by COVID-19, as demonstrated by some of the latest figures to come out from Stats SA about the second quarter GDP and unemployment figures. To help us to unpack what was said yesterday, we are joined by someone who's no stranger to the show. That is Mr. Davi Root, who is the chief economist at Efficient Group. Davi, greetings to you, and what do you make of the president's speech yesterday?
Yes, and good day to you, and thank you very much. Well, certainly, I listened to the president, and starting off, I think without a doubt there is a sense of urgency. There are two things that really stood out for me, is that the president is very clear that he intends to implement these plans. Implementation is a big thing. There's a sense of urgency in the voice of the president. And very importantly to me also is that the president made it very clear that there will not be any political interference, especially in the various investigation groups in South Africa. So he will allow the law to take its course, and he basically gave us the assurance for that. Now, that is very important. It's because everybody is saying, listen, I'm not going to pay tax because they're squandering my money. Yeah, I'm not going to participate in this and that because they're corrupt and all that. And it's important for the president to get trust back into government, to get trust back into his administration. And without a doubt, I think he took a huge step in the right direction and getting people to sit up and listen that this president really means business. That, without a doubt, I think is something that we absolutely needed. Then the second thing is that this was the worst-kept secret in South Africa, because there's nothing really new. It's infrastructural-driven stuff, and there's some interesting things like, for example, the extension of some of the grants that I think was pretty much expected. And of course, the emphasis is on job creation. And that's where the things, in my view, the wheels start coming off a little bit, because it's more of the same. And more of the same hasn't been working in South Africa for the last couple of, well, very long time, many years. And so perhaps we've got a different approach that we need to consider. And then the last point, and again, the president simply left that to the Minister of Finance, and that is that where is this money going to come from? We're talking about really big numbers here. We know that the state's finances are in a horrible state. And the fact that the Minister of Finance requested that his medium-term budget policy speech be postponed by 1 week really is ringing a lot of bells for me. And I'm afraid it can only be bad news. There cannot be anything good about the Minister of Finance postponing or asking him to postpone his budget speech. So the question is, where is this money going to come from?
And now, Davi, I think the last time we spoke, it was soon after the revised budget speech by Minister Mboweni. I know we spoke back in June, but Minister Mboweni had spoken just a few weeks before that. And I remember at the time you had your own just calculations around GDP figures, debt to GDP, and what that particular budget would actually do to public finances. So just given some of these indications, it does sound as if, you know, we're stretching the elastic band even further. So from that point of view and the fiscus, what do you make of that? Where do you possibly see us going? Could we be sitting at 120%, you know, debt to GDP ratios in the coming 12 months?
Yeah, not in the coming 12 months, depending on your definition of debt, of course. But yeah. We know that the South African economy is not in a recession. We are in a deep depression. This is different. This is not a matter of just an extended or long recession. This is a deep depression. We are in very, very deep trouble. And the state simply does not have the money. And now we've got an additional state spending in a form of various levels, like, for example, infrastructural spending and the extension of the grants and stuff like that. And all that money needs to come from somewhere. But there just isn't enough money available in the fiscus. And I can give you some numbers in the fiscus just now. But inevitably what this means is that since there's no money available from the fiscus, the money must come from somewhere else. And there are two potential sources where the money can come from. One is to ask the savings industry in South Africa to participate in some of these investment projects, which is all good and well. I don't have a problem with that, as long as you don't force them, so-called prescribed assets. And I think we're going to see some amendments on pension funds and how they can participate in certain infrastructural projects, as long as those projects, of course, are viable and profitable. The other source of funding, obviously, must come from the private sector. And you have to convince the private sector that they will, that the money will be well spent and that it will be profitable and it will be a good investment to the private sector. So the private sector must come to the party. But coming back to the fiscus, a couple of numbers on the fiscus. What is clear is the fiscal deficit is probably going to be in a region of about 18% to GDP this year. We're talking about a fiscal deficit of approximately 800 billion rand, by far the biggest fiscal deficit we've ever seen. We're going to end this year, the current financial year, with a debt-to-GDP ratio of approximately 84%, maybe even more. If we include certain state-owned enterprises like Eskom, and that's the main issue, by the way, that the president did not address, and that's the funding of Eskom. But if you include Eskom, the other state-owned enterprises, if you include their debt levels to existing debt levels of the state, which one should, in fact, then we're talking of state debt-to-GDP ratio of 95% in the current financial year, or more even, which means that within a year or two, we will breach 100% of GDP level. Now, the Minister of Finance did indicate that he wants to halt that in a year's, 2 years' time, and he wants to turn that ratio around and get debt-to-GDP ratio to start coming down again. But I'm afraid I don't think we will be able to do that. You can only do that if you spend less money, which certainly is not on the cards at the moment. They're trying to spend less on certain things, but in the meantime, we've just made announcements of more spending on grants, as an example. So cutting back on state spending, yes, here and there they will try to do that, but that's going to be extremely difficult to do politically. And then, of course, the other alternative is to simply try to increase some taxes, and there are many rumors doing the rounds on some taxes that will be increased. It will be interesting to see if the Minister of Finance will announce any tax increases during his medium budget policy speech, because that is usually not a platform for changes to fiscal policy. It's a platform to report back what is going on, and he will give us some hints on what he expects to do in February. But it is not impossible for the Minister of Finance to actually already announce some tax increases now. It's never happened before. But it is possible, and there are a number of potential tax increases that are being considered. Things like, for example, the wealth tax, which is not a good idea, a so-called solidarity tax, which I think is pretty much a given. That's probably going to be introduced, and a couple of smaller ones, maybe even an increase in VAT, also coupled with a zero rating or some other items and some other products as well to support especially the poor. So, yes, the whole thing is pretty much interlinked. The speech of the president is all good and well, but it must happen with the macroeconomic framework, and that includes what the Reserve Bank can potentially do, and that includes, of course, what the fiscal accounts allow us to do. And we all know that the fiscal accounts are in very, very deep trouble.
Now, Davi, just like some of the economic debates that are happening in other parts of the world, particularly North America and parts of Europe about a universal basic income, it does sound as if some of the rationale for extending some of these social programs like the COVID-19 benefits is just so that the government can actually help in some way to just keep money flowing in one way or another going through the economy. In terms of that type of activity, does that dent productivity in any way, or, you know, does it just become sort of like a little Ponzi scheme created by the government in terms of, you know, trying to artificially keep businesses going by giving people money to spend in the economy?
Yeah, there are two aspects to this. The one is that you give people money because they just don't have work, or they don't have another source of income. And we cannot allow our fellow South Africans to go hungry. So that's, and the other side of the coin is that you use this money to stimulate the economy, to stimulate demand in the economy. Now, I think it's important to talk to about both sides of this coin. The one is, of course, many countries in the world that can afford it actually did implement all sorts of measures, including South Africa as well. And today we have nearly 19 million people receiving some sort of grant in South Africa. Now, Except for the affordability of that, there are some dangers with these grants. One obvious danger is that the president did extend some grants for an additional 3 months, but you have to start cutting back on those grants. And if you really want to make poor people very, very angry, you take away the little that they do have. So we're running the risk of some social problems if we eventually decide to cut back on these grants. But in an ideal world, I think, and given the circumstances in South Africa, we should have kept the grants and maybe even increased the grants. But I'm afraid there's a financial limit to these sort of things. And, of course, the moment you start taking that away, then there are some social issues that can potentially become a major problem, and I'm concerned about that. On the other side of the coin, if you take away these grants, of course, it will especially affect certain companies, and especially the retail sector will be affected. People selling, and especially the smaller retail shops will be affected by this, which is also negative, especially for the poorer side of the economy, because many of these shops are relatively small shops, moms and pops kinds of shops, and we want them to keep alive as well. So taking away those grants, they will be affected as well. But what is important for us to understand is that if you look at the fiscal accounts, and that's where I put a lot of emphasis or a lot of work into, the fiscal accounts is one of we just cannot afford these sort of things anymore. It's just, let me give you an example. I mentioned that we have nearly 19 million people receiving these different grants. We have approximately 2 million civil servants, depending how you want to define that. That means that we have approximately 21 million people that they receive an income check from the state every month. Now, a good social security system is a system with fewer people on it, not more people. I understand the circumstances. But this is completely and totally unsustainable. We've got 14 million people with work in a country, 21 million people receiving grants from the state. This just cannot go on. We need to change this. And the only way to change this is to get this economy to grow. Of course, the president is trying to do that. But I believe that the emphasis is wrong if you listen to the president's speech.
As we come to the end of the discussion, Davi, because there's a lot that's been said and you've unpacked quite a lot just around the government's position, but more importantly, the feasibility of it. And on that point of feasibility, how do you think the tone of his speech was probably received by ratings agencies that have been calling and warning that structural reforms are one of the biggest impediments to South Africa?
Yeah, two things there that I think, and I think I've covered it to an extent already. The one is the tone of the president. This is presidential. This is a president taking control of things. I certainly do not agree with all the plans that he's announced, but he's certainly taking leadership here. And that's something that was lacking for some time. But those are kind of soft issues. It's important. It's important for trust. It is important for confidence in the country. And that certainly is a positive. But the rating agents, like economists, they are heartless people. They look at numbers. They add things up and they see if the numbers are going to balance in the end of the day. And I'm afraid if you look at the numbers, and rating agencies and economists have been warning about this for some time, the numbers simply do not add up. So that is why it's so important for us to see what the Minister of Finance is going to say, how he's going to make his sums, how he's going to add all these sort of things up. So I'm afraid where we are at the moment, and looking at the financial markets, I saw the rand was a little bit weaker. Not much. There wasn't a huge reaction on financial markets. But looking at the rand not at least appreciating on this speech, my suspicion is that financial markets are very concerned and are not convinced that we're going to get this economy to grow 3% for the next 10 years. I don't think we're going to get there, and I think the rating agencies will be concerned about the fiscal matrix that we've spoken about already, and they will be concerned about the possibility of economic growth in South Africa for the next couple of years.
So that brings us nicely to the end of the show to just get your thoughts about your outlook for the economy. You know, things have yo-yoed in 2020, but where do you see things going? You already mentioned earlier on in the year that we are going to be, you know, seeing that contraction. There's been the speech, but, you know, in terms of going forward, the recovery, what type of a recovery are we in or likely to have going forward?
Well, purely in terms of numbers, we're going to see a very nice bounce back in the third quarter, but that is just statistical noise. For the year in total, I still maintain my view of an economic contraction of approximately 10% or slightly more than 10%. Next year, again, we're going to see a bit of a bounce, but that's also purely statistical noise. We're probably going to see 2%, maybe even 3% next year. But I'm afraid that's not sustainable. And we are in a trajectory of very weak economic growth for years. I'm afraid I don't think we've taken the necessary steps to get us out of here. I think if I was the president, I would look at things slightly different. And I would say, listen, the president, remember, is the chief civil servant. And that's what he's got to do. He's got to put the emphasis on the civil service and do civil service stuff. And that means make sure that the local authorities work properly and put the time limit on that. No more dysfunctional civil servants, and I give you 1 year to fix your problems, for example. And the same with the national departments, and the same with the state-owned enterprises. Instead of all these grand plans for job creation and all that, now just do the normal civil service stuff and do that. Oh, and I'm afraid that's not there. And that's a very important hindrance to economic growth. We just do not have an efficient and effective state. Let's do that first before we try all new economic growth plans like what was just announced.
Davi Root, Chief Economist at the Efficient Group, giving us some insight into one of the biggest news stories in the economy this week, perhaps the biggest, that is the President's Economic Recovery Plan. Just talking about the fact that the President seems to have struck quite an urgent tone in that speech, and just giving a sense that things really do need to get fixed. But like you said, sometimes economics as a whole, economics is heartless. Economics looks at the actual numbers on the ground, and what's going to be important is the execution. And there are certain parts of the plan he's saying that are going to be tough, particularly issues around where is the state going to find the money to fund some of the spending that it is proposing. Also, just talking about what's actually going to happen going forward in terms of the outlook, but he's just emphasizing the fact that South Africa is in a weak economic environment.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Quite a week in the economy, with the president just giving their economic recovery plan and some of the focus areas that they have. But as Davi was pointing out, some of the key things is where is the money going to come from for some of the spending? And especially, it's just good to see that the government is making efforts to make sure that South Africans don't go hungry by extending the benefit. But at the same time, one always just has to keep in the back of their minds that all of this stuff does come at some cost, particularly to either taxpayers, the state, or the country as a whole. But more importantly, and I think this has just been the story of the South African economy over the last two decades, is just the fact that though the president does strike a very urgent tone and seems to be within that spirit of trying to fix things, what's actually going to matter and how things go is going to be execution. For example, if we look at the way that the government has handled COVID-19, we can definitely say that South Africa had one of the strictest lockdown regimes in the world. And in terms of plans coming up with stimulus, they certainly had quite a comprehensive plan that they really did put together. And it was actually applauded by other countries. But the execution, a lot of people did benefit. A lot of people were kept with food on the table and lights on at their houses because of the interventions that the government came up with, particularly TERS benefits, COVID-19 benefits, all of those different things that the government put into motion. But at the same time, that execution was tainted by some of the allegations of corruption, which is why I think you saw him taking a strong stance on corruption during that speech this week. And it is within all of that, when we talk about the execution, that the government can have way well laid out plans and the best intentions, but the execution and the spirit within which the state and other actors actually go about dispersing and actually distributing the monies, the way that the state actually conducts itself is going to be very important. You can have the best laid plans, but if they're tainted by people trying to take advantage of the plan, especially people that are well positioned or within the government, that ruins the whole thing and just puts a bitter taste in a lot of people's minds who have trusted the government to do and have people's, have the best intentions for people in mind. And also, it also then harkens back to what Davi was talking about, where some people would then be resisting the idea of paying tax because they think their money is just going to go into someone's pockets. So execution, very important, and we just hope that the government does best. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Business Live. Remember that you can also find our latest podcasts on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasted. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Shemaite. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So, for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.